Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's a Friday afternoon, and this is Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble today. And as you can tell, if you're watching us on Facebook Live or you're listening on the radio, I am not Steve Noble, but I am so honored to be able to fill in, sit in the red chair. He never lets me sit in the red chair when I'm here with him. But we're here today, Friday. We are about 29 days out from the midterm elections, and so much to cover. We've got an incredible lineup today. Congressman Hines, congressional candidate for the North Carolina 13th. We're just going to speak his new title into truth. We've got U.S. Senate candidate for North Carolina, current Congressman Ted Budd. And then we're going to wrap up the show with the Lieutenant Governor of the state of North Carolina, Mark Keith Robinson, who's going to be joining us live from Nashville. And so we've got a great show for you today, so much to cover. But I know we have listeners from multiple states, and we're so honored to be speaking to people across the country. But one of the things I would love to start with this morning is to really extend our prayers to the families here in Raleigh that were impacted last night. We had a mass shooting here in Raleigh. Five dead, three women we know of, and a off-duty police officer all killed. And we lift their families in prayer. We have watched so many of our officers fall over the course of the last couple years. And here in North Carolina, we've lost three just here in a short period of time. So we really lift their families up in prayer, the families of that community. And I'm here in Raleigh now, and the community is really hurting as we yet again face another mass shooting, a 15-year-old gunman in a neighborhood. And we've one of those who passed away was a junior in high school, getting ready to celebrate homecoming this weekend. And we just lift up those families in prayer. And, you know, this show is really about reality and hope, and I love when I get to come on to Steve's show and speak with like-minded Christians and speak to like-minded Christians about the things that we're facing here in our country, and we bring it right back to God. And beginning each day, this morning I was so blessed to start my day with an incredible devotional with my dear friend Sarah Harden, who lives here in Raleigh, it's so important as we look to all of the things that are happening in our country right now. We see unrest, shootings like we saw here in Raleigh last night, but we're seeing unrest in our communities, crime at levels that we've never seen before, inflation back to the Carter administration, and people are feeling hopeless and broken. And our government, while we're going to have a lot of politicians on with us today, our government is not our source to bring us peace. Our government is not our source of salvation. We know that comes one way, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And what we have to continue to, I think, remember is when we vote in 29 days, when we walk in to vote, and if you're voting early, if you go in and do it at that time, stop and take time before you walk in there and pray. Just take those moments before you make those decisions, because every one of these races is going to come down to spiritual warfare. It's what we're seeing across our country. And it is our opportunity as people of faith to put aside the R, put aside the D, and think about which one of these candidates has the policies that will glorify God. Which one of these candidates stands firm with me on the values that I have as a Christian. And that is and should be our guiding principle when we walk in. I happen to be a conservative that votes Republican. And I am a conservative Christian that votes Republican. And I do that because I believe that is the party that holds firm to a platform that protects the unborn, a platform that is allows me to worship my God openly without worry. It is a party that is focused on independent freedoms. And to me, it really comes down to who do I believe aligns with me spiritually? And I'm going to ask each and every one of you, as you head into cast your ballot, and you've got to get out and vote. There are so many Christians who tell me, I don't vote. I don't get involved in politics. Well, if we look at our Christian communities and we look back across even the last 20 years in politics and our country in the political sphere, when Christians stay home, evil prevails. We are called as stewards to vote. We are called as stewards to be prayerful over our leadership. And 1 in 3 Christians are not even registered to vote. It's startling to me. When you are sitting in church on Sunday, or you're in Bible class on Wednesday night, or you're in Sunday school on Sunday morning, or any one of your Bible studies throughout the week, ask the people that you're there worshiping with. Ask them, are you registered to vote? Do you vote? I know religion and politics are the two things that we're not supposed to talk about, but I can't imagine two things that are much more important in our life. But when you're sitting there worshiping with fellow Christians, ask them, are you registered to vote? And ask them if they need you to pray with them about that, and pray with them about who to vote for. Because we have seen since the Dobbs case and the overturning of Roe v. Wade a shift in what's happening in our country. And again, this is Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on Friday. If you tuned in to hear Steve, I'm so sorry, but I've got white spiky hair and different cool glasses. But, you know, you're getting a little bit of me today. And this is a time for us, as I say, when we look at what happened with the Dobbs case, we're going to talk about it with these candidates later on in the show. We've got Beau Hinds coming up, running for the 13th Congressional District, Ted Budd running for U.S. Senate, and our own Lieutenant Governor here in the great state of North Carolina, Mark Keith Robinson. We have before us, right now, we are at a precipice in what happens. And if you haven't listened to it, I'm going to challenge all of you. Take a little time, 29 minutes, listen to Tulsi Gabbard's new podcast. She has left the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party left her. It was the best 29 minutes I spent this week at the beach walking. So again, this is Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. Our next segment, we've got congressional candidate Beau Hinds from the 13th Congressional District. Stay tuned for our next segment. Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble. Do we have our future Congressman Beau Hinds from the 13th Congressional District with us?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Beau, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm great. I know you're out on the campaign trail today. Tell us where you're at, and then we're going to dig in and let everybody learn more about you.
Absolutely. We are actually in Clayton, North Carolina today, out in Johnston County, just meeting with a few constituents out here. And you know, we've been running around pretty hard over the last couple of weeks, so we're meeting as many voters as possible and making sure that we can get our message out there and about the community.
Absolutely. Well, for those who don't know, you have such an incredible story, and would love for you to share with the listeners more about you. I know you're a Charlotte native, went to Charlotte Christian, Wolfpack guy, went to Yale. I know a little bit about you. You and I have had an opportunity to meet quite a few times, but share with the listeners really your faith journey and how God called you to step into this race.
You know, I was born and raised in the church, but I have to say I didn't really find my faith until probably my later teenage years. And I truly found my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what's led me on this journey. You know, God's blessed us with so many things, but honestly just blessed us with so many incredible people in our lives that have stepped up and supported us in a huge way. But, you know, I played football at North Carolina State my freshman year. And after the conclusion of that year, I felt like God was calling me to go in a different direction. I didn't know what that was, but it ended up leading me to Yale, where I finished my undergraduate degree. And in the midst of that, I was able to see that, you know, what was being taught at these so-called elite institutions was pretty vile. And in the grand scheme of things, I knew that we needed some youthful leaders and some young energy to step up and fight back against, you know, some of this crazy indoctrination that goes against really our Lord and Savior's word. And so that's what's you know, brought me to this point in my life where I'm running for Congress now, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're fighting, you know, not only for our Judeo-Christian beliefs, but, you know, we're fighting for these communities and fighting for the, just to preserve the American dream and make sure all people have equal opportunity to succeed, but more importantly, that all people have equal opportunity to find the Lord.
Absolutely. Well, that is... thank you for sharing that testimony. And we know you're going right into the belly of the beast up there. You're fighting your congressional district, I really believe, and I was talking about this during the break, that the path to taking back the House and the path to taking back the Senate, which we both know is the path to taking back our country, runs straight through the Tar Heel State, straight through North Carolina. And I think your congressional race is one of the most critical. It's an R2, so we know it's a little bit Republican, but you have so much of Wake County in this newly drawn congressional district, an area where we know we've got 70-plus people moving in a day. One in five voters in the state of North Carolina are going to come out of Wake County or Mecklenburg County. We know Wake County tends to vote very blue. And, you know, I would love for you to share with us your vision when you get to the House, because we know you're going to win. We are praying it down, and we see you serving the great state of North Carolina up in Washington, D.C. To you, what are the three most important things immediately when we take that gavel out of Nancy Pelosi's hands that need to happen to try to bring this country back on the right track?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we have to get our economy back on track. We have to get inflation under control. When you look at the current state of things, you know, it's pretty bleak with 8.3% inflation. I mean, this is some of the highest inflation that we've seen in 40 years. And that's the equivalent of 1 month's salary for the average American. I mean, that's unbelievably high. And we just can't afford to continue down this road. It's going to lead to extremely dire economic circumstances for our country. And I think we need to tackle that by reining in government spending. You know, we've had overbloated spending for too long in our country. We've blown out our budget. And it's about time that Congress has to balance a checkbook, just like you and I do in our own house. I mean, we have to pass a balanced budget amendment to make sure that happens. And we haven't done that since 1994 when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House. So that's going to be priority number one. But to secure our border. And I say that because every district in the United States is now a border district. We have drugs flowing into our community, especially fentanyl, that's just destroying the lives of folks here in North Carolina's 13th district. And the first way that we can protect ourselves is securing our border and making sure that we're not allowing these drugs to flow in, making sure we can properly vet people before they come here. And, you know, lastly, I'll say we just need to protect our rights. We need to protect parental rights. We need to make sure our education standards remain high. You know, for too long, parental rights have been trampled in this country. And parents should have a say in what their children are taught and at what age they're taught certain material. We're just talking about some common sense stuff here. And then lastly, I'll just add to that, that we need to make sure that our streets are safe. We need to make sure that, you know, we can let our children outside without fear of them. And it's simple stuff we just can get in this country.
Absolutely. Well, and we know when we look at the consumer price index and what we're seeing happening with the economy, it's one trip to the grocery store. North Carolinians are paying $1,800 more, is that right, than they did under President Trump for the same items. Eggs up 30%, butter up 32%, gas up 18%, milk up 15%. And I mean, your congressional district, I think, is quite interesting because you have an urban segment, but then you have a big rural segment, and you have farmers and families. And Joe Biden's policies have taxed the middle class and the working class families who are looking now and making a decision as we head into the winter. Do I buy groceries? Do I buy gas? Do I buy heating oil for my house? And we're still seeing families. I know you do. You talk to them every day. That still aren't able to get baby formula at the grocery store. And I think he's turned our country into a country facing third world economic issues. So what are you hearing from constituents out there that are their big issues? Are they different than what the economy and the border and crime? What are you hearing from your constituents? Anything other than that?
Well, I mean, they're really harping on those three things. I mean, those are fundamental things they shouldn't have to be concerned about. And you know, I always say when I'm talking to constituents that are fiscally hurting, I say, look, there is no one in America should be having to decide whether or not they buy groceries or pay for their medication. And that just shows you that even though we have some of those folks who are having to make that decision, just how, you know, deprived our economy is of resources and opportunity, because that's something that we've lost since the Biden administration has taken power and they've continued to beat down our small business owners. They continue to stifle economic growth, and especially rural communities in this country. And I think that these folks are going to turn out in droves because they understand that we have to get our country back on track right now. We have no time to waste, because if we do, it's who knows what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good.
This is Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on Friday. I've got with me congressional candidate for the 13th Congressional District, Bo Hines. Bo, how do people find you? What's your website?
Absolutely. Our website is bo4nc.com. That's Bo, the number 4nc.com. You can find us on any social media platform. It's either Bo Hines or Bo Hines NC. Make sure you follow our race. I agree with you. This is a bellwether race in the country, and I think it's going to send a strong indication where the American people are on election night.
Absolutely. And you know, I just want to thank you so much for stepping in and running. I mean, we've got a new congressional district that's been carved out there. You had a lot of money poured into your primary. You have the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. Congratulations on that. And you've got, I think, a really diverse congressional district there and people that are looking for strong leadership. And to your point, I do think this is all going to be about turnout. I've been saying this about this election for months, even when I was running, saying it. This is going to be about, I really think, how strongly the bases turn out. What's the enthusiasm? And then how do those unaffiliated voters turn? And they have to be hurting the same way everyone else is under Joe Biden's administration. So again, Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble. Want to thank Bo Hines, future congressman from the 13th Congressional District. And if you want to follow Bo, please go to Bo for the number 4NC, Bo4NC.com. Bo, we wish you the best of luck out there, and we'll see you on election night. So, talking. Hi, this is Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on Friday afternoon. And I love that intro music. We're about to talk to Congressman Ted Budd, the next U.S. Senator out of the great state of North Carolina. But I just have to say, I love the Bob Seger intro. For those of you who don't know, you may not have heard on Steve's show in the past, I am a Detroit girl, and we love some Bob Seger. My dad did security for him back in the day when Bob was playing KFC halls and bowling alleys, so we'll talk about that. Maybe Congressman Budd and I can talk a little Bob Seger another time, but let's win this election. Let's do that first, Congressman Budd. We are so grateful to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Hey, Michelle, great to be with you. So much, and I'm a fan of Bob Seger as well. I remember there's not a lot that I cry about, but when Chevrolet had that Like a Rock commercial, that was me crying.
There you go. Well, he's something special. He is something special. Well, we are so honored to have you on the show today, and this is the Senate race that nobody seems to be talking about in the country, and I continue.
I'm talking about it.
You know what? So am I to everybody who listens. I don't care if it's in line at the grocery store. I'm talking to every single person about it. And you and I are going to unpack that, because I do want you to give us marching orders, Congressman, on how we make sure that this is a race that we send a true, bold, fighting conservative like you. We need you in Washington, D.C. You have been a conservative warrior in Congress, and North Carolinians deserve a strong conservative warrior in the Senate, and we are looking to you to be that, and we know that that is exactly how you're going to step in and serve. But for the listeners who maybe don't know as much about you as I do, I'm honored to call you my friend. Tell us some of your background. Most specifically, let's talk about your faith walk. I know you and your wife have such an incredible story, but would love to hear more about you, and then we'll dig into the race.
Well, I have the great privilege of traveling with my sweet wife, Amy Kate, of 28 years today. So we're down in the eastern part of the state. I was born in Winston-Salem, grew up on a family farm in Davie County, just on the west side of Winston-Salem. Cattle and chicken farm, and then a little janitorial and landscaping company over in Winston-Salem that my dad started. So if I wasn't cleaning floors on third shift, I was working on the family farm, and then went off to Appalachian State University. But I'll tell you about that. But before I got there, came to Christ at a young age. And I really want to thank, I got great parents, but they hosted a Bible study for the big kids. And those were the middle schoolers to me that were my older brother's age. And I would sit there after I was supposed to have been in bed and listen to a Bible teacher talk about our need for Jesus. And I started asking my mom a lot of questions on the way home from school, and she realized that I was asking her questions of eternal importance, and she pulled over in the station wagon and prayed with her to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That was probably when I was 5, maybe 6 years old. The memory wasn't quite so clear later, so I made sure that I was in a saving relationship with Jesus, and that has just been the most important decision that I've ever made in my life, and it impacts me, you know, 40, 50 years later, and I'm grateful for that. When I went to college at Appalachian State, after my freshman year, I went on a mission trip to none other than the Soviet Union. It was August of 91, and two things happened. One is the Iron Curtain began to collapse. I mean, I thought I was going to jail because it was the Red Square when the bus opened the doors. We had Christian literature. We had brought medical supplies for the hospitals over there. But the most amazing thing happened, and we didn't know this at the time, but the Iron Curtain began to unravel and collapse the week we were there. The second thing that happened is I met my wife, Amy Kate. And she's not Russian. She is a coal miner's granddaughter from West Virginia. But years later, we were married. We went to Dallas Theological Seminary as our first married home, and both graduated with degrees, different degrees, but degrees in Christian education out there. And so that was another phenomenal experience. And then other than that, North Carolina has been our home. I grew up here. She is an adopted North Carolinian, but this is an amazing state, and I'm honored to have been able to serve in the U.S. Congress, and I am really looking forward to serving in as the next U.S. Senator from here in North Carolina.
Wow. I adore your wife, and that's such a great story. Thank you for sharing. Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble, and I have Congressman Ted Budd running for U.S. Senate here in the great state of North Carolina on with me today. And Congressman Budd, I know we could spend our entire segment talking about all the failures of the Biden administration and what it's doing to families across this country and across this great state. But, you know, I want to ask you about words of hope and inspiration, because we know the Republicans are going and conservatives are going to take control of the House, and we pray it down that you're going to take control of the Senate as well. But share with the listeners really your message of hope on how we can right the wrongs that we're living on a daily basis right now.
Well, I'll start at one level, because it's the level I'm operating at right now, and that is politically. We've got to turn out the vote for the next 25 days. Early voting, Michelle, as you know, starts in only 6 days. But that's not really where it stops. You know, I look at this as a gas pedal and a brake pedal. And for the next 2 years, we get to put the brake pedal on what the Biden administration is doing in so many different ways. And look, people who used to say, oh, the Democrats, Republicans, they're all the same. They used to say that years ago. Now nobody's saying that because they're so far apart. The ideas of the left, Republican versus Democrat, are so opposed. But we put the brakes on the Biden agenda for the first 2 years, and then we pick a great president for 2024. We put their gas in the right direction. But what they're doing right now is it's disorienting. If it's the woke leftist social agenda that's causing confusion all the way down to the youngest in our society, it's heartbreaking, Michelle.
It is.
But a lot of this really needs to be solved, not just at the policy level in Washington, D.C., not just at the Capitol level for us in Raleigh, not just in our county boards of commissions and our city council. It needs to be solved at our dinner tables. And that's parents talking to children, people going to church, a Bible-believing church that actually believes that God created us and loves us and has a plan for our lives. And I think we need to return to that as a country, and I think that would be a huge start in the right direction. You never want to shove this down people's throats, but I think once we realize that, hey, and I like what Winston Churchill once said. He said, Americans will always do the right thing once we've tried everything else. Well, Michelle, you know, as a country, we've tried everything else. And we've pushed God out of the center of the town square. We've pushed God out of our lives as a country, and it's not working too well. And we just need to align with Him as our Creator, and I think that makes life better for all of us. It makes us safer. It makes us more prosperous. It makes us happier. And I think we need to remember that.
Absolutely. Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on Friday, and I have the great pleasure right now of speaking with Congressman Ted Budd, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate here in the great state of North Carolina. And we look at your race, when I look at your race, Congressman, and think 1 in 5 votes in the statewide races are going to come out of Mecklenburg County or Wake County. And we know that those are our two biggest yet bluest counties in the state of North Carolina. And we have 500,000 more registered women than we do registered men to vote. It's shocking to me. 500,000 more women are registered to vote than men. And we look at the importance of the turnout of the conservative base. I've been talking about it the whole show, looking in our churches and knowing that 1 in 3 Christians are not registered to vote, and that so many Christians stay home. And when Christians stay home, we see the faith erosion in our country and in our communities. And so, you know, I'm calling for every member of every church, every Christian conservative, get out and vote. Take time before you get out of your car to walk in there and pray it down before you vote and pull the lever for anyone, because our country is at a crossroads here. To your point, it's, you know, this is a kitchen table, getting back to families, talking and protecting families. But there are kitchen table issues that we're facing every day, because what we can afford to put on our kitchen table today is a lot less than it was 2 years ago under President Trump. And speaking of President Trump, I know you have his endorsement. Congratulations on that. I've had that from early on. But when we look at this race, I want you to give me some marching orders, and I want you to give marching orders to our listeners. What are the things that we need to say about Congressman Ted Budd to the people that we're standing next to in the grocery store line, the people we're sitting next to in that church pew on Sunday, our neighbors? I don't care if you're playing pickleball, whatever you're doing, this is a race that must be talked about, and it's a race that no one can overlook, because a 6-year term sending a true conservative out of the great state of North Carolina, I know you'll be there fighting for what's right. I know it. But what do we need to tell those who have yet to decide, or those that are so disenfranchised with the entire process, or the unaffiliateds, which will play such a critical role? Give me my elevator speech on why Congressman Ted Budd is the right one.
Well, Michelle, let me reframe that just a little bit, and thank you again. I don't like to give marching orders, but I do like to stay humble, work hard, and ask for people's prayer, support, and vote. Not just the next Thursday when we hit October 20th, and that's when early voting starts, but all the way for the next 25 days. I like to let folks know I grew up on a family farm in Davie County. I just won the statewide Friend of Farmers Award. And look, I'm a true conservative, and I'm one that will just do what I say I'm going to do.
Well, and we are so grateful, because you will be a unicorn. You'll be a politician who actually does what they say. And we've seen it happen in Congress. This is Congressman Ted Budd. So grateful. We wish you blessings and prayers, and can't wait to call you Senator friend. Pray those people down. Again, Michelle Woodhouse. Okay. Again, Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on Fill In Friday. We are waiting for the great Lieutenant Governor, Mark Keith Robinson, to call in. And we have with us now just a special guest to talk to for just a few minutes, and that is Michael Summers. Michael, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, good. Well, so full disclosure, Michael Summers is my preacher in Asheville, the San Francisco of the South, and I knew it's so true, and is also a veteran and has fought for our country and served our country. And before he got into the ministry, had some time in politics in Indiana. But you know, much of what we've talked about on the show today, as I'm filling in for Steve this Friday, is talking about the importance of Christians getting out to vote. And I know it's challenging for you as a preacher to stand up in the pulpit and talk about it. But, you know, what do you say to fellow leaders in the church, to the people filling the pews, when we know that one in three Christians do not vote. 1 in 3 aren't even registered to vote. What do you say to the Christian community about this election and the importance of being involved in that role? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing right now that I'm confronting, you know, and I think churches all over are confronting, is kind of a lackadaisical attitude. Everyone complains, everyone sees the problems, everyone says something should be done, but no one's willing to do anything. And I've found myself saying over and over and over to, you know, people who say, well, we should be doing this with the church, or we should be doing this with the youth, or we should be doing this with that. Okay, then do it. Step up and do it. You have to put yourself out there and actually do it. And I think that's really the biggest thing is everyone sees problems and everyone wants to point the finger and complain, but what are you actually going to do about it? And when it comes to the politics, it's the same message. Do something. If you don't like the direction this is going, if you don't like the culture we're living in, you have to do something about it.
Well, and that is what we're called to do as Christians, 100%. We, and I am so grateful for the work that you're doing and grateful for your call to service. Thank you for the way you've served our country. Thank you for the way that you, I know, on a daily basis serve our Lord. I am so honored to call you friend and am so grateful because we need strong leaders in the church. We need Christians to stand up and say, get to work, get it done. So I'm so grateful you could pop in with me for just a minute. I've got the Lieutenant Governor calling in now, so I'm going to thank you again for the hard work that you're doing. Thank you for serving this country and put out the challenge to the Christian community that it is time to step up, step in, and do the work that needs to be done. One of the things that we talked about is sitting in prayer before you go in and pull that lever. Any vote that you cast, let the Holy Spirit, and if it involves fasting and prayer, whatever it may be, but sit in your car and pray. We are 25 days out, and our country needs Christians serving and Christians voting. So, Michael, thank you so much, and prayers to you and to that new baby.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Again, Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble on Fill In Friday. Have had such an incredible show. We are so honored to bring on my dear friend, the I call him a firebrand, but I don't even know if that covers it. The amazing Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Carolina, Mark Keith Robinson. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for calling in, spending a little time with us this afternoon.
Good to be here. How are you doing?
It's so great to talk to you. It is so great to talk to you. You're traveling today, so I am glad that the plane has touched down. You're safely in Tennessee, but you know, there's so much to cover, and I am one thing I will say to you, what you have brought to the grassroots and conservative movement, not only in the state of North Carolina, but across this country, the voice that you have given, the voice that you so boldly speak as a man of faith, as a man of strong conviction, every grassroots Christian conservative across this country says thank you to you and to your beautiful wife, Yolanda, for stepping in, taking those bullets, and never wavering from being the incredible faith warrior that you are. We are so grateful, and I'm so honored to have you as my Lieutenant Governor, future Governor, 2024. Maybe we can talk about that, but also my dear friend. So again, Michelle Woodhouse filling in for Steve Noble. I've got Lieutenant Governor Mark Keith Robinson on with me today. And Lieutenant Governor, as we look around right now, people are feeling broken. We're seeing inflation numbers, costs of goods, groceries up 30%, gas up 20%. Families in North Carolina that are having to decide between groceries, gas, and heating oil. What is your message of hope as we head into this midterm election 25 days from now? What is your call to action for voters across the state?
Well, before I mention that, I really want to say, we're praying in earnest for the victims of the shooting in Raleigh. Happened. The off-duty police officer and the four others who were killed by the gunman there. We are really praying for those folks. That is a sad and tragic reminder of the abject violence that we're seeing all across this nation for a myriad of reasons. And we just want to say first and foremost right off the bat, we're praying for those victims of that terrible crime. You know, my call for folks out there now is we have seen how quickly we can go from having good policy in place that makes life great for people to seeing how we can have bad policy in place that makes life terrible for people. And the one thing we always need to remember is this: elections have consequences. Mm-hmm. And I have been telling people all over this, look, this time, this whole thing about personalities and about, oh, I don't like this guy because he, quote, strikes me the wrong way or he says the wrong things. Look, President Trump's mean tweet, did they open up our border? No. Did they make inflation what it is? No. Did it cause the debacle in Afghanistan? No. Has it caused this degeneration of law enforcement in this nation? No. What President Trump did when he was in office, he had effective policies that made this country fire on all cylinders, from our economy to law enforcement to foreign affairs. This country was in a great place. We now have an ineffective leader in office who is, you know, everybody talks about him being this kindly old man. He is a weak-kneed, ineffective leader who is leading this nation to ruin. So folks need to really, in a lot of ways, get down off the high horse when they talk about these guys and gals that are running. We got Herschel Walker down there in Georgia. They're trying to demonize this guy for his past. This man's past has not caused any of the current problems that we're seeing in the present right now. Those are all problems that he's overcome in his life, and we've all had problems. So this whole thing of playing this this personality game, trying to demonize people for their past, that needs to be over. The people of this nation and of this state need to start looking at the substantive problems that come home to our doorstep and cause us problems in this nation and figure out who it is that can best serve us to bring those things to a successful conclusion.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this week, and we've been praying for these shooting victims from the beginning of the show, a 16-year-old, 16 to 52-year-old, five victims dead, another officer in critical condition, another female victim in critical condition, and your point is so spot on. This is about how we right the ship, and I'd take a mean tweet right now over policies that are targeted at destroying America and Americans. This week, I'm sure you listened as well, but listening to Tulsi Gabbard's podcast about leaving the Democratic Party and what the Democratic Party has done to our families, what it has done specifically, I look at women, young girls, women's sports, a party that I was raised in. My parents were Union Democrats from Detroit, and the Democratic Party used to be the party of the working man, of the working family, the party of fairness and protecting those who couldn't protect themselves. And they have it is now run, as she said, by the elitist cabal. And elections do have incredible consequences. And we always say every election is the most important election. But as we look at 2022, what are some things that you think are so critically important for us to say as we're standing next to someone in the grocery store, sitting next to somebody in a church pew, people that are feeling broken and disenfranchised? How do we get those people engaged into the polls in 25 days to make sure that we're sending strong Christian conservatives to fight for us from the local level to the federal level?
It's simple. Tell them the story. Tell them the story of North Carolina, how prior to 2010, this state was an absolute economic toilet. $3.4 billion in debt to the federal government, and the economy was completely stagnant. Hardly any business growth. Then when conservatives took over the state, look at what's happened since then. No longer in debt to the federal government, and businesses are clamoring to come here. And then at the federal level, it's obvious. Look at the reversal of fortunes since 2016. Up to the current time, with the wide open border, the debacle overseas, and everything else that's going on in between. The differences between conservatives and leftists could not be more clear. It shows up directly in the policies that we put out.
Absolutely.
Ours are successful, and theirs aren't.
There you go. Michelle Woodhouse filling in on Fill-In Friday. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Mark Keith Robinson. We pray for you and continue to lift you up. Thank you for fighting the good fight, friend. We're so honored.